Om Shanti. We are always asked what we would like to talk about in this class. And the choice was the art of self-sustenance or sustaining the self. Those of us who are on the field of service actively know that a lot of our efforts goes into sustaining others. But equally we know by experience that if we are not enough sustained or well sustained, it's a lot of effort to sustain others. Let alone whether it works or not, but it just takes a lot of energy. And so the first step for us, which is actually a natural part of Brahmin life, is to make sure that we ourselves are well sustained. I know that we are here from different places, different types of centers or different types of settings. Some of us from a big center with lots of maharatis, either there or passing through. Some of us from smaller centers, perhaps you are the only one who is looked up to or responsible for sustaining others. And some of us may be just way out in the woods somewhere without any kind of contact or family connections, Brahmin-wise. And even when we come to Madhuban, I think we are noticing more and more how the way we take sustenance is so different now. Even from a couple of years or even a year ago to now, what we have been watching is that we have not been getting so many meetings with the seniors or with dadis. We are not getting the usual kind of group meetings or personal meetings that we were used to before. And yet Madhuban is Madhuban. And Baba always says, Madhuban is Madhuban, and of course it is the gathering, it is the atmosphere, it is the time. Dadi has been saying a lot about it. But I think ultimately it all boils down to how we as individuals, as souls, as Brahmins, are able to take deeply from whatever is being offered, either as a special offering or even as a part of the natural offering. And I thought the very, very basic premise based on which we can really and truly take care of ourselves, make sure that we are sustained fully and properly, is to have this deep attitude and understanding and feeling of what Baba is making me into. Just to have a glimpse that what I am involved in or what I am living now as a Brahmin life, there are many things I look up to as effort. And I know intellectually that at the end of my effort-making life, there will be the result, the golden aged kingdom or the deity status or whatever. But to feel deeply enough, you know, in a very personal way, down to reality, that when I really make effort, I'm saying effort, quote-unquote effort, whatever is required of me as effort, if I really make that effort, what will I be experiencing now? That what does Baba really want me to experience? That he really wants me to feel as good about myself as he feels about me. You know, oftentimes Baba says, I'm so happy to see my children. And you wonder, why would Baba be happy to see his children? But just the feeling that we are so special and so unique and so elevated in Baba's eyes, and the reason why Baba wants us to make effort in a special way is so that we can ultimately begin to feel the same thing that Baba is seeing us as. So at the bottom of it all, I was thinking that, you know, even to look at sustenance of the self is really to feel from the heart that it's really all about Baba wanting the best for me. Do I want the best for myself? And to even for a second or two, a few seconds or two in a day, but to get the flavor that, you know, what does it mean to feel that good about myself, or that proud about myself, or that dignified about myself? And then the sustenance becomes something very natural. I know that in a Laukic way, when you look at the word sustenance or sustainable, it's usually looked upon as something that can be maintained over a long period of time, right? Sustainable or sustain something really means that somebody initiates something or creates something or starts something, and it has to be sustained, it has to be maintained, in other words. And coming from the background of childcare, where I come from, you know, in my background was pediatrics, and growth and development of children was one of the specialities. And so translating it in a physical level, for example, sustaining little children, what does that mean? Of course, yes, it means maintaining, you know, the life of the child, but more than anything else, I think it also means growth. Growth and development. And in the same way, if we look at the sustenance of the soul, Baba creates Brahmins, Baba gives us new birth. But what does sustenance mean? That from that little consciousness that we have in the beginning of who I am as Baba's child, or sometimes I think we all have an image of a little angel or a little deity. But from that, to grow big, to really make sure that I'm able to grow day by day, continuously, constantly, consistently. And of course we know that growth of the soul is not something that is growth of the soul in size, physically, but growth of the soul is really all the attributes of the soul. We are able to experience much more easily, much more in depth, and we are able to express those attributes much more easily as well. The qualities, the virtues, the powers, the knowledge, the wisdom, all of that is able to, you know, become part of the self in a very easy way, in a practical way, in a relevant way. And of course you feel yourself getting stronger by the day too. So growth and development, if, you know, in other words, how do I know that I'm being sustained properly, is when I know that my virtues are becoming more natural. Or as Baba says, you have to become all virtuous. It's not that I'm just specializing in a few, but one virtue is leading to many other virtues being inculcated. So also being strong, you know, as Baba says, the powers, the strength, even as this morning we heard, that the power of the faith that we have, the strength of the faith that we have, the strength of the practice of yoga that we have, all of that is giving us more and more strength. So sustenance for us is not just status quo, but it's constant growth. Of course, living in a city like New York, many times, I wonder, looking at many Brahmins, who we feel that, you know, perhaps they're not growing, you know, because for many years you see them coming to class, or you see, you know, same behavior, same kind of attitude. Of course, doing everything properly. They're all following Brahmin principles and everything. But how do you know if the soul is really growing? And what's the gauge? And of course, as I said, that brings us to the second topic, that yes, of course, we have to grow in virtues, grow in our inner strength, grow in our understanding. But also looking at the atmosphere outside, of the world outside, even just maintaining status quo as Brahmins takes so much energy, so much more energy than it would have taken 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, right? I don't know how many of you would agree with that, but for any person, getting up in the morning, coming to class, going out in the subway, coming back at home, you know, in the night, and having to do whatever, the same kind of activity, you know, whatever it took 2 years ago, or even a year ago, or a month ago, I think it takes much more spiritual strength, spiritual qualities, to do the same kind of actions, I feel. So for me, that is sustenance too, you know. So it's okay for us to sit back and say, oh, this one is not growing, or this. But the fact that they are able to maintain the routine, you know, of the Brahmin life, of course externally and internally, if they can do it even better so. But sustenance is something more than, in other words, it's part of what Baba is calling it as protection. You know, a big part of sustenance is to remain safe and protected. I feel just like when a mother cares for her child, one of her greatest concerns is that the child is protected from any little hurts, any little germs, any little bad company. These are all her concerns, right? Or the parents' concerns. So in the same way, Baba's concern for us is also safety and protection. And so a good part of sustenance, I feel, is, you know, when the soul is under the canopy of protection of Baba and Baba's principles, Baba's remembrance, and feels safe. And even though externally it may look like, you know, the soul or that person is not doing anything more than a year ago or 2 years ago, but deeply to trust that yes, you know, inside the foundation of that faith is growing, because of which the soul is able to sustain itself, you know, as a Brahmin, as Baba's child. So the growth is part of sustenance. Protection is part of the sustenance. Becoming stronger, you know, in virtues, in understanding, in qualities is sustenance. And also I feel that a big part of sustenance, especially now towards the end, is really to be very refined, as a soul, to become refined. And refined is, I think, a little bit towards the end process. Baba many times says, you know, the diamonds are all ready, I know they're all ready to be set, but they just need to be polished a little bit, or they just need to be refined a little bit. And I think that's a big part of this, that's a sign of being sustained properly too. Because as the understanding of the knowledge grows, and as the inculcation of the virtues grows, so also refinement for me really is that the setting is right. In other words, you're able to apply points of knowledge, for example, to the right context. That's refinement. Rather than just saying drama for the sake of saying drama, but is it the right time to say drama, for example? And I think that's a big part of growing up or becoming mature as a soul. Through various experiences of life, you know, in which we have applied knowledge, we have applied the principles of yoga, we have seen what works, what doesn't work, and we have learned. And so that becomes our maturity, our refinement, so to speak. And I think it's a big, it's probably what time is waiting for, you know, Baba's saying lately, what is time waiting for, or you know, why, you know, until what, until when? And so I think this is the final stage of our growing up, so to speak, you know, to become very refined in our attributes, in our skills, in our powers. In other words, to we know it's there, but is it being applied in the right context at the right time for the right reason, so to speak? We know that the way in which Baba sustains the soul, and therefore the way in which we can sustain ourselves, is the same all over, and that is through knowledge and yoga. Right? The knowledge that the soul had forgotten for a long time and had become weak, when the soul listens to that knowledge, is reminded of its own attributes, its original nature, all of a sudden it becomes strong. The same thing with the experience of yoga. As much as we remember Baba, Baba is reflecting back to us who we are to begin with. And so ultimately, at the end of it all, this is what sustenance is all about. And Baba has very beautifully shown us the image, the symbolic image that represents sustenance. Right? What is that image? The image of Vishnu, right? So you see Brahma, creation, Vishnu, sustenance, and Shankar for destruction. But especially the symbol or the sign of Vishnu is so very symbolic. In other words, you really have to understand the meaning of that. And so Baba has also explained to us that, again, Vishnu is not something that is that represents what happens in the golden age, but it represents what happens now at the confluence age. As a soul that has become Baba's child and has inherited Baba's qualities, these are our decorations. This morning Baba said, we're not spinning the cycle enough. Right? Because spinning the cycle is probably the foremost symbol of sustaining the self. And what that means is, how are we able to sustain or maintain the quality of thoughts that Baba wants us to have by spinning the knowledge of the self? And to that extent, as much as we are able to spin it in the right way, no matter what comes, all these aspects will be covered. We will be able to protect ourselves, right? In terms of, you know, no matter what the situation or what situation Maya presents, we'll be able to cut the head off, right? We'll be able to grow through that situation if we are spinning the cycle in the right way. And we will also be able to become refined, mature through that situation. So spinning the cycle, as Baba said today, is in the level of thoughts. And the maze, you know, filling every action with the strength of knowledge. And I think that is, you know, recently I remember Dadi was saying that comes even before we start spinning the cycle. The first symbol that you adopt is that you make sure that your actions are now filled with the strength of knowledge. At the level of thoughts, you make sure that you are engaging yourself in spinning the cycle. At the level of your own life, you know, it's very beautiful how Baba says, it's okay, everywhere around you have the same atmosphere, the same negativity, but you can be detached like a lotus. So these are very, very beautiful symbols. And finally comes, of course, the conch. In other words, you have to be in conversation, you have to be in a social setup. So in that setting, what do? You bring the strength of what you know the conviction of what you know to others. So it is a very, very lovely symbol to keep in front when we think of sustaining the self. But I was just saying, I was just thinking of some simple practices that we could perhaps share in terms of, you know, on a day-to-day level, what is it that happens and why do I know, you know, from morning to night, Baba has given us the routine of the day. And if we just follow that simple routine of the day, that is a great form of sustenance. Baba has given us a whole set of principles as Srimad, the supreme directions, and that's the greatest protection we can ever have. But in spite of all that, perhaps some simple practices, day-to-day practices, that we can really take up as developing the habit and the attitude of self-sustenance. Because as I said, as the time is changing, we have to become less and less dependent on the usual things that we used to be dependent on. Right? One simple, very simple thing that Baba has been reminding us, and I think it is connected to a very deep attitude, and I think Dadi was mentioning yesterday too, how she sometimes sits and practices just this one fact, that I'm fortunate. And I was thinking, what is it that is so powerful about that? It's this whole attitude of appreciation. As soon as there is inside this instinct to appreciate that we are able to express properly, the instinct of gratitude, for example, as soon as we are able to express it, it comes back to you, in other words. It's almost like opening a new channel of positive energy. And so a deep appreciative attitude and, of course, behavior, I think it's very, very sustaining. And Baba put it in the words, in his words, it was giving and taking blessings. Because even before we can get into the mode of giving and taking blessings, I think just the simple fact of noticing and appreciating what's around me, what's inside me, what Baba has already given, what Dharma has already provided, I think it's very, very nurturing, sustaining for the soul. And so I would start with, you know, yes, of course, and later on it develops into doing good actions and, you know, doing something in return, all of that. But I think this very, very simple act of appreciation. And we had a recent experience in which, you know, all of us at Peace Village, and I know you might have heard about it from other people, but just passing out little simple cards of appreciation. You know, of course it was something very external, but there was noticeably, you know, very, very elevating feeling, uplifting feeling, as soon as you were able to express to someone that this is what I appreciate in you. We probably do it on a subliminal level, subtle level, internally, not letting the other people know, but there's also something more to giving it more life, you know, doing it more consciously, in other words, and creating a whole atmosphere, an attitude of appreciation on an ongoing basis. And Baba, of course, many times talks about our approach, and I think this is a very sustaining behavior and habit and attitude. So I'd like to really underline that, you know, especially, you know, Dadi's been talking that this is the time now where we have to find not difficult methods, not long drawn out methods, but really simple methods, easy methods, and yet very powerful and subtle. So the machinery she was talking about the other day was it's like that many things may be happening wrong. But for us to be able to notice the one thing that is right, now that's a subtle machinery. Right? It doesn't take much to notice when everything is going right. But when everything is not going right and there's one little thing that really is right and I can see it, I can appreciate it and I can build on it, that's a subtle machinery. And so it's a very self-sustaining attitude and behavior, I think. The other noticeably effective tool or method, but it's not really a method again, but it's something that I have found to be very sustaining for me is to, again, it has to do with this whole process of growth, right? To really convince myself that I'm growing. Sometimes it doesn't just happen naturally. Unless something happens in drama and, you know, something terrible happens and then you know that and you notice that, oh, you handled it very well, that's fine. But on a normal day-to-day circumstance, how do you really know that you're growing, you know, as much as you should be growing? And so one of the things I feel important for us as Brahmins making fast effort is to take on new areas, new challenges. Whether it be in your own self-growth or whether it be in the area of relationships or whether it be, you know, externally in the form of service, but again, how well am I able to handle it internally? How well am I able to do it with that self-respect? So some kind of a new challenge, in other words, to open. Now, I know drama, for many of us, provides those challenges automatically. Many new opportunities, many new chances, many new offers come to us, right? But how often do we look at them as someone telling me to do something? Rather than, you know, the divine plan in drama opening doors for me to really grow in my area, in that area, particular area. So I think again that conscious attention to opening myself or, you know, entering new areas of growth, I think is very, very important, whether it be working with somebody that I don't get along with, yeah? Whether it be doing something that I don't like to do. And you may very well say, how is that going to sustain you? Because that's going to be more, you know, more of a disturbing thing. And that's fine. In the beginning, when we come, you know, we want to protect ourselves, we want to keep ourselves very safe. But really, as we grow, and if we really want to rise to the top, we do need to open new areas, you know, and recognize those places in the soul, you know, that are empty or that could be filled up more or that could be enhanced more, more spiritual skills or abilities or qualities. And so I think just this attitude of, lately we've been talking about learning, right? The attitude of learning. So the learning that coming not only from the books and the classes, but the learning that comes from the field of action. Especially things that we have a choice for and we can make a choice. See, if it's given to us as you have to do it and I do it, that's okay. But there are many areas where I have a choice. And the more I can take the courage to make that choice, that I can do it, I think that also gives that confidence and enthusiasm for the soul. And that's a sustaining factor. So I feel opening, and it doesn't have to be always service field. It could be many, many internal things. You know, usually when we think of new areas, we think of usually service. But it doesn't just have to be service, but just kind of, as I said, getting along with someone that you don't get along, you know, rather than saying no, or being placed in a room where, you know, you don't like that person, for example. So you're cutting off, you know, and on one level you can say that this is all I can do, but on the other level you can challenge yourself and say, let's see how much more tolerance or how much more cooperation or how much more whatever I have inherited, you know, inculcated since the last time I was in this situation. Because if I haven't, then it means that I'm not growing as much as I should be growing. So to keep myself open to the, even that kind of practical learning, you know, on the field learning as well, I think is, it keeps us, you know, in that mode of learning and growing and openness. The other practice that I have found very sustaining, and of course it cannot happen all the time, or it may not be possible all the time consistently, but the experience that we had yesterday, for example, right? The experience of silence, right? So how often are we able to give ourselves that period of silence to digest? So often we are so full, and you know, there's so much stimulation happening on the field of service or even on the field of knowledge, for example. But is the soul getting enough time, space, opportunity to digest it, to internalize it, to really make it into a viable quality or a viable strength or a viable part of the wisdom that I really need out there in life? And I think it doesn't have to be like total silence, but the habit of doing something or doing whatever you're doing, but with a different mode, in a different mode. In other words, your mind is in a different mode while you're doing it. So you're switching off the normal mode of thinking and judging and making decisions, and you're going into a quieter mode, right? A more knowledge-based mode, or a mode in which you're very consciously aware that Baba is with you. You're not doing this alone, or that you are an instrument. So somewhere where I feel that this practice of silence can be, it doesn't have to be long periods, as I said, and it doesn't have to be absolute silence, but just this nature of silence being integrated. One is the practice of silence and the other is the nature of silence. So as much as I can go back to that original nature of silence, which Baba says we all have, right? Our original nature is of peace and silence. So how much can I actually feel it and mix it, integrate it in whatever I'm doing? And I remember once, you know, it wasn't that of course I was observing external silence, but I was basically doing everything I had to be doing, including even, you know, taking calls or whatever. But it was in a different mode, you know. And it is noticeably different in the sense that, you know, how much through that same activity, you know, you're able to get something back. Usually most of our actions are about giving, right, or doing or sharing what we have inside. But how many of our actions actually feed back to us? And that's why, going to the other point, that it's nice to identify at least one or two activities, even they may be lokic activities, you know, to begin with, or there may be service activities, but something that has to do with karma. It's good to identify something that we can actually add spiritual element or spiritual meaning or spiritual significance to it. For example, if you're at a computer and you're sending emails or whatever, it could be a very mechanical thing of just, you know, doing whatever you have to do. But if you understand that at the end of this email there is another soul who will be reading it, right? So the message that I'm sending, whatever I'm writing, you know, will have a different implication then. So I'm doing the same action, but I'm giving it a different meaning. In other words, I'm kind of filtering through and seeing the significance of that action. So the more we are able to identify, I'm not saying that we can do it all throughout the day, although we should be, and you know, we could be, some of you may be very, very experts in this. But if we can at least start with identifying at least one or two activities in the day in which you can actually bring your spiritual understanding, the truths that you know, or the qualities that you want to embody or to practice practically. So we have to do that. So somehow or the other, it then comes back. It doesn't go out just as an action, you know, has its own reaction kind of thing. But it actually instantly brings back the reward. And this is what Baba means by instant reward, right? You know, as soon as you start working with that consciousness, instantly it brings reward. Like for example, Baba says, you all start writing a letter and immediately I get that. Now, what does that mean? Because it's a spiritual connection. It's not just a physical act of writing. Because when we write to Baba, or even we think about writing to Baba, it's a very spiritual act, right? It has a lot of spiritual significance, and that's why it comes right back to us. Of course, Baba also responds. But any time we are able to add that element of spirituality to normal, you know, chores, I think it's a very sustaining, because more and more we are noticing that we don't have, you know, it's not that we can take out special time for ourselves, right? Baba had said once, and that time will come that you will not have time for yourself. Is that time come already or no? Coming soon, if not already. So we have to devise, you know, whether it's a minute in between or whether it's through the action even that we're doing, we have to really make sure that it's not just spending energy, but it is actually gaining energy. I was very struck when Dadi was sharing the other day that yoga power, when she was describing, that it's actually, you know, when you say establishment is taking place through yoga power, what it means is that it's the power from God that is doing the task. Even though the soul is an instrument for doing it, but it's the power from God that is actually getting the task done. And in the process, the soul is not spending any energy, but is actually accumulating energy, accumulating power. It's beautiful, isn't it? So the work is being done by God's power. The soul is acting as an instrument. And in that process, the soul is accumulating or getting the benefits of being an instrument, which is accumulating that power. Nothing is being spent by the soul itself. The soul power is not being used. In other words, it's God's power. So it's a very lovely way of experimenting with yoga power, how we can do more and more with yoga power and less with physical power. Every task has to have, of course, some physical, you know, that's why we are on the field of action. But we all have examples of dadis, how much physical energy they put and how much spiritual energy they invest. And what's the result? And of course, that's not just the work of the dadis, it's all of us who can equally master that too. Because when it comes to sustaining the self at the end of the day, the physical tiredness is equally important. Right? If we are doing things in a way that we get physically tired, or if we, you know, overexert or use a lot of our physical energy, naturally, that physical tiredness is going to impact our, you know, spiritual stage too. So the art of doing things more and more with spiritual power. And what that means is quality. If, say, for example, you know, somebody wants to talk to me and I have to spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes with that person, and I don't have that time, and I have something waiting that's very important, urgent. So while I'm talking for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, all my thoughts are going towards whatever is waiting for me, right? Oh, I'm getting late. Why is this person saying this? I know, can't you do it yourself? Can you deal with it? I don't have the time. So all these are the thoughts that I'm having right inside. So what am I doing? Am I gaining anything or am I losing something as I'm doing it? Right? But on the contrary, if I decide that, you know, whatever time it may take for the soul, but for this time, this few minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, I'm going to be absolutely in the present. You know, the other day Sister Moini was talking about connecting with the present time, connecting with whatever is in front, whatever is the role that I have to play in front, whatever is the part that's been given to me. So if I can be in that moment, and if I can draw on everything that's in the soul at that very moment, maybe the soul will not need 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Maybe she or he will be happy in 5 minutes. So where did I work from? I worked from my spiritual capacity, right? Being in the moment, concentration, love, attention, you know, whatever skills, qualities that moment required of me, I was able to emerge that at that time. Rather than simply saying, oh, I have to simply talk about this, or I have to simply listen to this person, or I have to simply, you know, solve this problem, or whatever it may be. So that's a totally different mode. You know, solving problem mode is a totally different mode. But soul-to-soul connection mode is so totally different. You know, that carries with it your love, your care, your mercy, your understanding, your forgiveness, whatever it may be that is needed by that soul. And instantly you have satisfied someone. So I think what we need to learn is really this art of drawing on what Baba has already filled in the soul. And that's what he's been saying again and again. I've given you so many treasures. Right? How are you using them? For yourself, for others? Are they being wasted? Are they being accumulated? You know, throughout the last two seasons, Murali, this has been the emphasis, right? The fact is that I have already given you, but what are you doing with it? That seems to be the thread of everything that Baba has been saying. And so what are we doing with it? We are still using our old mode. The same mode. Of course, the treasure is there, the knowledge is there, the power is there, the quality is there. But at the time that it is needed, we are not using it. And so a big part, I feel, of sustaining the self is to literally give that proof to ourselves and to Baba that whatever he has filled in the soul is actually useful. Not just for myself, but it's also useful for others. And it's a very rewarding feeling, you know, when you see that someone is benefiting from something. It's such a rewarding feeling. That's a sustaining feeling. It's a very elevating feeling. It's a feeling of elation. You know, they call this positive. It's It's one of the most, even people who are not in Gyan, when they help each other, how do they feel? They feel so good about themselves, right? It's a feeling of elation, and they've done studies on this, on positive emotions, how even watching another person helping another person makes someone so elated, so elevated, you know, good feelings. It's very sustaining. So I think the time has come for us to really see, you know, the actual benefit, the positivity in practical of all the treasures really when put to use, both for the self and for others. And of course, as I said, for others comes later than the self. You see, one of the things that's happening at the confluence age is that we are giving proof to ourselves and to Baba of what is closest to our heart and what we would like to have, right? As much as Baba is promising us that this is the world that I'm creating, but we have to also give that proof that yes, this is really the world that I want. Baba doesn't need proof, but really for us to give that proof is very reinforcing for us as a soul. Otherwise, simply to keep hearing it from Baba is not sustaining enough. This is why Baba always says, the study is, my duty is to teach you, and your duty is to study. Which means that we are actually taking whatever Baba is teaching us, and we are giving it back to Baba or to everyone else. One more thing, as I was thinking, is that a big part of sustenance is to keep our connection clean and clear. Our connection with Baba is, of course, through yoga and also knowledge, but also our connection with others who can be instruments for our growth and for our sustenance. I know it's a big subject by itself, but one particular aspect I was thinking is what it takes is so many times the power to initiate something. I know that many times, for example, in United States, when people come as Brahmins, especially from India, you know, and they call us and they say, oh, I'm here and, you know, can we have Murli or can... And we ask them, for how long have you been there? And they're there for a year, 2 years, whatever. And all of a sudden they thought of calling you, right? So probably something that has kept them away for all that time. And one of the things I feel is very important is to not to lose that connection, you know, for whatever reason it may be. And therefore, you know, something has to be there inside the soul. Even there may be some kind of hesitation, even there may not be the need, absolute need that you see, but some kind of initiating force where you feel that this is important, you know, to keep connection with the proper instruments. To somehow or the other to find a way, you know, there may be a history, there may be a reason why you're not, but in spite of that, if there is that initiative, I think Baba always helps. And I think it is, in the long run, you know, always a very, very big part of how much we are able to sustain ourselves and grow. Otherwise, yes, we can grow, but we can grow only as an island, little island. We are not in connection with the mainland, you know. Somebody once described, you know, it's like we're all in different islands and we're all trying to kind of expand on our own, but we're not able to connect with each other. And so Baba's work, and including my own transformation and my own perfection, is very much connected with everyone around. And so that kind of physical one-to-one connection with family is equally important, and for that, you know, I need to have that initiative to start the connection. Maybe nobody knows where I am, what I'm doing, and maybe it's not something that somebody will even respond to for a couple of times, but I still have to continue to try and make sure that that happens. Because from my side, if I put in the right effort, then Baba helps. See, so that connection on spiritual level in yoga with Baba through Murli's knowledge, that's fine. But also that physical connection and having that company, you know, that is beneficial and promoting my growth with each other is very, very important. I know for a lot of us, you know, service has become a big means of sustenance. And of course, it's not to take away from that subject, but how do we, even within that subject of service, how do we make sure, as I said before, that I'm getting more than I'm giving? Of course, it's never me I'm giving, but if I think I'm giving, then I'll never get from it. So Baba has reminded again for the last 2 years, it's an instrument consciousness, selfless service that you're able to accumulate really. You know, Baba has specified in the third part of accumulation that it's usually the selfless service, the service done with an instrument consciousness, nimit bhav, that actually allows you to accumulate in your account. So very, very subtly to check, you know, even on the field of service, the giving and the taking proportion, you know, consciousness, how much it is. At any given moment, in any area of service, in any project, it's a nice thing to chart my chart, you know, in terms of what am I thinking of myself. Do I think I've done so much, I've given so much, I've made so much effort, or do I feel that it's Baba who's done this? In which case, I will automatically feel the happiness, the power, the learning happens automatically too. So it's actually, I am on the gaining side. I'm not on the using side. I'm not on the giving side. But I'm on the gaining side. So I think that's a good exercise or, you know, practice always to stop from time to time and check our consciousness in service, on the field of service, to sustain myself. Okay. Very good. So, I think time is preparing us for, of course, Baba has always been saying this, that each one, each of the Brahmin is being prepared for, you know, world service. You know. But I think you're seeing it more and more on a practical level now. That all of us being called upon to rise to the occasion, whether by force or by choice, to be the image and to be, you know, the benefactors that Baba wants us to be. So self-sustenance and really, really staying with Baba and Baba's methods being the key point of making sure that we are well protected, that we are strong, that we are embodiments of all of Baba's qualities, and that it comes through in a refined way. You know, Baba doesn't come through in a clumsy way, but you know, there is grace in our expressing those qualities, that everything is very refined, and so the world has to see that. And this is really our time to prepare for that, to sustain the self. Om Shanti.